What's the deal with this?
Deal? What are you saying?
Deal.
Deal?
I don't see what the big deal is, you know? It's not that great.
Good deal. You won't regret it.
What's the deal, son? What do you have going?
All right, look, here's the deal.
What do you say we're making some deal?
Have you ever walked by a vacant building or retail space and thought, what's the deal here? Good spot in the middle of town? Surely this can be put to better use. Today on the podcast, I'll talk to an innovator who set out to breathe life into empty buildings. I'm your host, Ryan Cox, managing partner at Founders Grove Capital, and welcome to The Real Estate Innovators, the podcast that explores innovation in commercial real estate with technology, design, and development. We celebrate the companies and innovators who are changing the business of commercial real estate and are inspiring the future of how we work, live, and play. If you walk in almost any shopping area now, you see vacancies. They're an eyesore. They make people less likely to shop, they ruin the adjacencies that spur shoppers to buy, and they limit the incomes of store employees, retailers, and landlords. Retail real estate doesn't vanish if you don't use it. So what will happen to all those empty stores? No one knows for sure, but one company is on a mission to brighten the retail world by connecting commercial real estate owners with brands and media. Visuwall is an online B2B marketplace that simplifies the media buying process and monetizes the downtime of vacant commercial real estate. Through a simple user interface and turnkey process, media buyers can access vetted locations and deploy rich advertising at eye level. Real-time traffic information is captured using a unique technology metric system, providing quantifiable results for campaigns and experiential media buys. Today on The Real Estate Innovators, I am talking with Kobe Wu. Kobe is founder and CEO of Visuwall. Wu is the former SVP of strategic planning at Combs Enterprises, where she was responsible for managing the business and creative strategies, including Combs Wines and Spirits and Sean John. Some of the global brands she's affected through her unique lens of entertainment and planning include Spotify, Google, Yahoo, Converse, Pepsi, JetBlue Airways, just to name a few. I asked Kobe about her background and what led her to the idea for Visuwall.
I am, first of all, my name is Kobe Wu. I'm the founder and CEO of Visuwall. I have a non-linear trajectory in my career. I kind of started out in the music business, working with artists and brands and, you know, managing artists like Macy Gray and Sunshine Anderson in the late 90s, early 2000s, and, you know, kind of really got my creative juices out there, you know, working with the creatives and all that kind of stuff. When the music industry kind of started tipping over, I started looking at other options, other career paths. And I looked at experiential marketing as a key way for me to do that. I had done a lot of events when I was working with Macy, touring and all that good stuff. And because of her success, you know, working with a lot of top brands, you know, that wanted to do, at the time, they didn't really have a name for it. But it was, you know, basically brand partnerships, you know, with artists and, you know, big brands like Mountain Dew, and, you know, she was in movies and things like that. And so the exposure for me was being able to kind of integrate the business path, the model for that. And, you know, it turned into producing events and really helping brands align with artists while they wanted to produce events, you know. And I think one of our big heavy hitters was when I was working on a Grammy event for the group Outkast, when they were really huge, and the Polaroids were being mentioned in songs, and suddenly Polaroid wanted to be a part of the Grammy event, you know. Levi's was a partner of ours for the event also, the same event, and I couldn't figure out what the integration would be, but it turned out there was a new budding artist named Shepherd Fairey, who really was a fan of Outkast and wanted to help Levi's deliver 501 pairs of 501 jeans to all of Outkast fans. And I said, great, but what's the catch, you know? And he's like, well, I'll do something cool with the guys. And what he did was he spray painted their faces on 501 jeans, and we gave them to 501 guests. It's kind of cool, but it was one of the first, you know, brand integrations that we did in an event. That kind of activity translated into me working for agencies. And my first agency job was working for Cornerstone. And Cornerstone's here in New York City. It's a big kind of an entertainment lifestyle marketing company, has a lot of music in its DNA, produces things like the Fader Ford at South by Southwest, all the way through to activities for the Fader itself and on the agency side with brands like Nike and Converse and Sonos and all that good stuff today. So, you know, I come from the agency world. My last job was running strategy for Sean Combs's brands at Combs Enterprises. And I worked with brands like Ciroc Vodka, De Leon Tequila, Sean John, and Revolt Television, and really tried to help find optimization across all those brands. So it's a very long-winded journey. but, you know, while I was working with Sean Combs, I also happened to go back to business school, and I went to NYU and partnered up with a team that had, you know, we just challenged ourselves and asked what we would do with vacant commercial real estate. There's a lot in the landscape. What are we going to do with it? Is it another opportunity? Is there a tipping point there? What's happening? And we did some studies, and we entered ourselves into a competition called the NYU Entrepreneurs Challenge for an idea called Wall Talk, which was putting advertising in windows. And, you know, what that would be, you know, essentially a marketplace. We fleshed out the idea, fleshed out a business model. It got to the finals. And from there, upon graduation, my team decided they didn't want to move forward because they wanted to go back to work mostly. You know, they loved the idea, but they were like, I'm going to go back to work, my family, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I took it forward, rebranded it, called it Visual, developed a smarter platform, in my opinion, where sure, the marketplace is still there, but you know, coming from marketing, knowing that we need to develop ROI and, you know, real brand integrations, developed two forms of tech that now live in our platform. And it's comprised of a computer vision sensor and mobile proximity technology that actually allows an advertiser to measure the number of people who are engaging with that window and providing additional lift where we can take whatever's in the window and then deliver it to people's mobile devices. So you get a more comprehensive and optimized advertising spend.
Sean Combs, aka P. Diddy, speaking about the experience of interning for him, said, "A lot of people think that I come in and out of places, studios, and yell at people telling them to get cheesecake." He continues, "I won't say that's not true, but the thing that's real about me and the thing that I hope inspires people is I come from a neighborhood that you can relate to. I come from a type of personality that you can relate to. I love going where the hustle is. I love going where like-minded people are." With Kobe's experience in entertainment, I asked her for her favorite story while working in the entertainment biz.
You know, the entertainment business is... it's interesting. It in my brain, and you know, it's probably just because I've been in it and been through it. You know, it's right now the way I look at entertainment, it is the best conditioning for work ethic ever. Right? It's just the best. And I joke about it because I joke about it when I'm teaching. I'm also an adjunct at NYU in the Clive Davis Institute of Recorded Music. I teach, you know, creative students business practices, and it could be from marketing to being entrepreneurs, etc. But what I sometimes joke about, but I'm very serious at the same time, is when I would go to work and I would work at a record label or I was working at Cornerstone, everybody had this music DNA. Our main goal was, my modus operandi was to work so hard that I would not get yelled at that day, because I just don't like getting yelled at. And in the music business, or at least years ago, people just used to yell a lot. So you just didn't want to get yelled at. So you end up working two and three times as hard to make sure the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted. And so you have like this work ethic that when you come out of it, you just seem to be better than a lot of other people who are kind of trudging along, you know? So that's just my joke. I have one story that I will share, and it's kind of funny, kind of not, but I remember along the lines of work ethic, my boss, I won't drop a name, but my boss was riding an elevator to see who was coming in late to work. he just stood in the elevator because it was a music company, right? People tend to come to the office late, but we needed people in the office no later than 10 o'clock. I'm like, 10 o'clock, that's easy, right? 10 o'clock, get to work at 10. But people would stroll in there at 10, 15, 10, 30. And he sat in that elevator one day and just caught people coming to the office after 10. I was like, wow, that's nutty.
With years of experience in marketing and creative strategies for the entertainment business, I asked Kobe what inspired her to leverage her talents and experience to transition into the commercial real estate tech space.
Yeah, I mean, it is kind of random in some regard. You know, but it's random on some level in terms of career choice, but it's also like not, because I live in New York City. And if you were to walk the streets of New York City, you will see, I mean, dozens of vacancies in the hottest neighborhoods, or what used to be the hottest neighborhoods, or it still is, but, you know, just super expensive neighborhoods of the market. And you're like, dang, that looks really bad. You know, like, how are we going to fix that? And what are they going to do? And then, you know, I started picking around. I have a friend of mine whose father has been in real estate forever, you know, and he's an older guy, you know, he's a dad, right? So he's an older guy. He's been in the game for, you know, 40 years, 50 years, something like that. And that kind of insight around real estate, and asking him, like, what are the reasons why you keep your vacancy? Like, why do you keep that building empty? Like, surely somebody wants it. Why don't you just lower the rent? He's like, why would I lower the rent? And I said, well, I mean, you could have like a really cool shop in there. He's like, I don't care about cool. I care about, you know, capital. I care about revenue. And I said, well, what if it was like, you know, a pop-up something or another? He's like, what's a pop-up? You know, he's an older guy, right? So he's like, what's a pop-up? Like, why do I want that? Why wouldn't I want a 10-year lease that makes me, you know, I don't have to worry about it every single month or every year, or who's taking care of it? And what I walked away from and talking to, you know, him and a few others like him was, you know, it's really about the right income, revenue opportunity, the right partner in terms of who's going to be in there, occupant, and, you know, just making sure it represents or marries well to what that building is about, you know, and what's going on in the neighborhood and how that one occupant can affect the culture of the block. And hearing that made me kind of think, hey, I can fix that. You know, like I can answer that. I understand those, you know, cultural qualities, you know, coming from marketing and under talking and helping brands align with, you know, musicians and creatives. It only works when it makes sense, right? It only works if the partnership has some sort of authenticity to it. And, you know, I found some parallels with that when I was talking to owners and about the kind of occupants they want in their space. So, you know, when I started digging into the notion of putting advertising in windows, it's not different. You know, you look at a Pepsi, it needs to be in a neighborhood that, you know, will feel it. Does Pepsi need to do a big in-window campaign? You know, sure, but where? Where are they going to connect most, you know? And with the notion of being able to go into a specific neighborhood, you know, that's very powerful. And that's what we try to provide.
A pop-up shop is a temporary storefront space operated by an online merchant. Pop-up stores have become more prevalent in recent years and continue to grow in popularity. These short-term retail environments enable customers to experience products firsthand. E-commerce merchants often use pop-up shops to reach new customers and test out a physical retail environment. I asked Kobe about the decision to differentiate herself among the other viable options for short-term retail uses.
You know, when I was working on it in B-School with my team, we talked about what we would do with vacant commercial real estate, right? And it was, you know, we went through the process of vetting out events or pop-up retail or, you know, any other kind of use. And, you know, A, there's other people that do events, and there's other people that do pop-up retail. And I didn't have any experience in that. You know, I understand it as a consumer. I'll go to an event in a cool, you know, unique location, or I'll go to a pop-up. But I also know, having come from experiential marketing as well, that it's extremely immersive and labor intensive and not always that beneficial for the operators in terms of what you can make in terms of money. So the goal would be more in terms of the impression and the output. And I also understand enough about advertising to be able to be like, that's the way to do it. You're in and you're out. It's not intrusive or arduous in terms of process. And, you know, we finally got to a model that is pretty turnkey, you know, create, you pick your window, they're on the website, you pick it, you send the artwork, you know, we'll give you the dimensions on the window. You send that artwork back to us in the layout. We'll print it for you and install it for you. And it's up for 4 weeks, 8 weeks, 12 weeks. That's easy. That's digestible where people can kind of take it on. If you're thinking about an event, you're like, oh, I picked my location. Now I've got to do decor. I've got to figure out how the operation, are the lights on, is the water flowing, you know, all these other logistical things that there are people who do that extremely well. And can take that all the way through. But for us, the model seemed to be most effective to have this turnkey system that was short-lived. It didn't take a lot in terms of the lead-in, rather.
With a solid footing on how to add value to real estate owners and managers, I asked Kobe how the advertising world responded to the visual concept.
I think the real estate game, people are warned to the notion of pop-up anything, right? Like, property owners understand pop-ups. They understand short-term leases. So in speaking to them in their language, that is easily applicable. In transitioning that or translating that to the advertising game, it's a slightly different piece, right? Advertisers are used to planning things out 3 and 6 months in advance. On an occasion, brands will do things in short lead time. And if it's a short lead time, it's difficult to achieve some sort of outdoor presence only because the footprint isn't available. So what we're doing is now giving those people who want short-term leads or short lead times the option to buy in. Not for nothing, we're also able to offer outdoor presence to brands that are emerging. You know, they might be new or they might be tech apps or they might not even have an agency yet, right? So, but they do have marketing dollars. And so what we can do is service that large swath of consumers or our clients rather that want to do outdoor presence. And not only that, the other big differentiator is our technology that provides real-time analytics and the opportunity to connect the physical image that's in window and translate that to the mobile devices.
Vacant retail space plus a short-term campaign is the idea that brings commercial real estate and advertising together through visual. I asked Kobe to walk me through a campaign partnership and how the technology works.
We did a campaign with Apple Music last year. They wanted to have two markets, one being New York and one being London. Now, just for your edification, last year, I only had New York City. I didn't have the LA market like I do now, and I did not have London, that's for sure. And Apple wanted to kind of try our format because they were getting ready to launch their content platform, right? Like more television or, you know, video content on the platform, et cetera. And they were doing it with a product launch for a new artist, relatively new artist named Sampha. Sampha was going to be performing in London. He was going to be performing in New York, and they wanted to have an outdoor campaign to support his tour. What we did was we gave them 3 locations here in New York and another 3 in London, and we did Go Get London for this campaign, and we geofenced every address of all of the locations. When you geofence, what happens is when a person enters the fence, that line, that digital line of radius of where that location is, you would get, if you opened up your Safari or your Chrome on your phone, you would get an ad that looked like, a banner ad, if you will, that looked like the ad that was in the window. If you touch that ad, you would then be taken to the artist page on Apple Music. And that was extremely successful. That click-through rate all of a sudden becomes a metric that otherwise out-of-home doesn't provide, right? So you're now walking down the street. You don't know if anybody's looking at the window or not, right? But with our technology, A, we can know who's walking, you know, how many people are walking by. We can tell if you're looking at the window and whether you're a male or female. There's a few other demographic breakdowns there. But now we understand how many people are physically walking by. Then if we also know how many people are in the area of that window, they may not be in front of it, but if they opened up their browser, they might see an ad that looks like the window. So it creates this amplification that otherwise doesn't exist. There's another way that we could have gotten more people by giving Apple Music our SDK, which would allow us then to do push notifications to the phone. So it's more like a text message that pops up like, hey, Sampha's performing tonight. Come get your free poster on, you know, West 4th Street or something like that. That really helps people to kind of connect with what they're seeing on the street. And that Sampha's in town. Yay, we're going to go see him tonight. Or, oh my God, I need to download this or watch now. So it was kind of like this fully integrated opportunity using our infrastructure.
Geofencing is the use of GPS or RFID technology to create a virtual geographic boundary, enabling software to trigger a response when a mobile device enters or leaves a particular area. I asked Kobe how Visual's use of geofencing drove metrics for Apple.
We worked with an agency that wanted to just create awareness. You know, that was the goal. And when we saw, when we were able to give them metrics, I was hoping, I will tell you, Ryan, we were hoping for like, you know, maybe 20%, 15 to 20%, because the campaign was only going to be up for 2 weeks. I thought 15% of click-through rate would be fantastic, but we saw 76%. And it was one of those where where Apple was like, whoa. And that meant people saw it on their ad and our campaigns in the window that were geofenced. Encourage people to actually engage with the app. And so Apple, you know, was very happy, of course. You know, we're looking to do more with those guys down the line. But we use that as a model to show other brands what they could do. And, you know, we're starting to see some uptick there, being able to play with brands like, you know, Rice Krispies and, you know, I don't want to jinx myself on stuff that's coming up, but, you know, some other mobile companies that want to play with us. And not for nothing, even a few mall entities that want to understand their traffic and, you know, what's going on in, you know, traffic patterns inside of a mall, if people are actually using a corridor or certain stores being more occupied than others.
With a successful Apple campaign under her belt and a few big accounts evaluating the product, I asked Kobe what's next for Visual in 2018.
Yeah, no, we're definitely ramping up with the team. You know, I want to kind of hunker down and make sure my real estate acquisitions team is robust in the markets that we're active in. And, you know, our product development piece, we're going to have a fully operating marketplace that has the ability to book and pay for media campaigns on the platform, which currently doesn't exist in the ethos of media buying. And then, you know, yes, a dashboard that has data visualization on the analytics that we're talking about. So brands can have access to it themselves, you know, and download reports accordingly. So it'll be a very integrated, simple and easy to use, you know, platform that allows advertisers to be smart. And then, you know, not for nothing, while we're primarily focused on advertisers, the real estate community really likes the traffic analytics that we're able to provide. So, you know, we're hoping to be able to impact the retail segment with insights that otherwise they would have to, you know, pay for incrementally.
I had a fun conversation with Kobe today as we trace Kobe's history as an advertising executive in entertainment and working with the industry power players, leveraging that knowledge to create an experiential marketing experience for consumers through interactive advertisements on our neighborhood retail buildings. Two lessons that I learned in this episode. One, retail building owners and operators will have an increased access to short-term solutions to monetize vacant space or transition periods between leases. And two, Visual has increased the speed to market for advertisers while delivering measurable results, connecting consumers to brands in a new and powerful way. And now, a word from our sponsor.
Want daily interviews with real estate investors and none of the fluff? Go to bestevershow.com, where Joe Fairless interviews daily real estate investors and entrepreneurs about their best advice ever. Go to bestevershow.com.
And that concludes our show. We will keep an eye out for Visual's growth as their unique advertising model catches our eye and mobile phones on retail buildings and fronts. You can find out more about Kobe and Visual in the show notes. Please subscribe to The Real Estate Innovators and leave a review wherever you subscribe to podcasts, which helps us grow our audience. You can find out more about me and Founders Grove Capital at foundersgrovecapital.com. Until next time, innovators.